Hello, hello, hello. It's good to see you once again. I'm Dr. Ken Berry, a family physician, and this is my lovely wife, manager, and assistant, Nurse Nisha, a registered nurse. We have many years of medical practice experience, and this evening we're going to be talking to you, our friends.
Why are you so serious? Are you doing that on purpose?
Yeah. I was trying to be all impressive.
Yeah.
Was it?
It was
impressive.
It's impressive. Okay. I'm impressed. Consider me impressed.
Good deal.
Yeah. Welcome back to Monday Night Live. We do this every Monday at 7 Central Standard Time on Facebook and YouTube.
Yep.
As long as, you know, we're able to.
The creeks don't rise and the internet's good.
Right.
Yeah.
Where's everybody watching from? We love to see where everybody is from, because it's crazy. Yep. There are some people from a long way away from Tennessee, and that's insane.
Like, some people, I don't know when they sleep, because, like, it's, what, 2 a.m. in the UK right now?
I don't know. I don't do time zones. Yeah. I'm really bad at that.
And in some places of the world, it's 14:30 in the morning. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing away.
Australia's watching us. Right. Alabama. Canada. We always have a lot of Canada people. I love that.
We love our Canadians.
I don't know.
And we're back. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about that. I don't know. It does that. I think we lost you for a second, but
yeah,
we're back.
We're back. So, yeah. Anyways. Yeah.
So, where are you from? What city? What state? What country? Continent?
Georgia.
Is anyone from Antarctica watching this?
If there is, I'm going to be super shocked. We got some people from Franklin, Tennessee. Hey, neighbors.
Hey, neighbors.
Houston.
Excellent.
Virginia. Excellent. Spring Hill, Tennessee. That's right down the road, too.
I feel like at this point, we're all neighbors with everybody.
Seriously. Yeah.
We're just all in this show together.
Costa Rica.
Hey.
Reno. Dallas.
As always, we're going to be talking about all things low-carb, keto, carnivore tonight, and ketovore. And so if you know someone who's thinking about starting this way of eating, who has just started and can use some help, or is an old pro at it but would like to just catch up with their old friends, share this video. Sharing this video could literally help us to help someone else improve their life. It's a quick little click to share this video. It doesn't take long at all. If you're on Facebook, you can start a watch party right now. There's a button that says start watch party. And always on YouTube, click the subscribe button in the thumb and leave us a good comment. If nothing else, where are you from right now? That helps the algorithm. It helps boost this video out and helps us be able to help more people. You can do that for us.
So we are talking about four phases of keto weight loss.
Yes.
That's really generalizing it. You know, there's lots of stages of keto weight loss.
Yeah, and I think we can break it up into sub phases as we go.
True.
Yeah, we'll do that. Sure.
But that's the title. So
but there's four main phases, and I came up with that title 3 minutes before we went live. So that's what it's going to be.
If you don't know that, you can come over and watch our What I Eat in a Day vlogs. That's on my channel, and you can see us, you know, struggle.
It really should be called the four phases of how your body reacts to the keto diet, because that's kind of what these phases consist of. But in each phase, we're going to break it up for you a little bit and give you our personal experience, what else we've seen in other people, et cetera, yada, yada, yada.
And you can also leave your comments about the different stages that you've went through in the comments, because that really helps other people to see. I had a stall for 8 months, and then I started losing weight again. That's very encouraging for other people to see, especially if they're in a stall. There are people we know and love, Miss Nurse Cindy. She had a year-long stall, and she's lost so much weight.
And that's actually one of the phases we're going to talk about.
Yeah, so there's lots of people who have been through these phases. If you've been through these phases, leave your comments. That really is very helpful. So,
yeah, absolutely. And if you see someone ask an obvious new in the comments, please lovingly respectfully, kindly reach out to them and say, hey, I was in your shoes. This is what I did. This is what worked for me. You're welcome to start polite conversations in the comments. Absolutely. While you hang out with us.
Yes. We are a positive vibes only atmosphere over here. So don't be mean.
Positive, pleasant, polite. Pass it on. The four P's. Yeah.
Okay. All right. First phase is
water loss. Yeah. Fluid loss. And so when you start the ketogenic diet, this is not a calorie restriction diet. This is not a starvation diet. You get to eat until you're comfortably full on a ketogenic diet, but it's just going to be very, very low in carbohydrates. One of the very first things when you lower your carbohydrate intake is that your blood sugar is going to immediately start to go back closer to normal. It may take a while to get to normal, but it's going to move that direction. And that's going to make your insulin level start to decrease back towards low normal. And when your insulin level and your blood sugar go down like that, you start to urinate away unhealthy fluid that you were holding in your body. And in fact, many people report to us that, you know, when I would take my ring off, there'd be a dent. When I took my socks off, there'd be dents in my leg because of the fluid I was holding. And after just a week or two or three on keto, you're going to notice that you've peed a lot and you've peed off a lot of that unhealthy, unnecessary fluid. And many people, this makes their, if they have any degree of heart failure or renal failure, it improves that function of that organ because it's not having to deal with all that extra unnecessary extra fluid. So, but, and this is also where it comes from, where you hear somebody say, I started keto and I lost 20 pounds in 10 days or 2 weeks. That's fluid. That's not, you don't burn fat that fast. I wish. Keto's good, but it's not miraculous. And so for the first week or two, use anywhere from 5 to 20 pounds of unnecessary, unhealthy fluid that your body was holding. That'll be fluid your heart no longer has to pump. Your kidneys don't have to filter that water anymore. None of your organs have to deal with this unnecessary, unneeded water. And so that's phase one. And if you're starting this very inflamed and holding a lot of fluid, you could literally lose 20 pounds in 10 days or 2 weeks on keto.
And that's mostly the more you weigh, the more fluid you're going to lose. So if you're not severely overweight, then you'll lose more like 3 to 5 pounds.
Yep,
but if you're very overweight, it could very well be up to 20 pounds of fluid.
Exactly. Exactly.
What else?
What is it? We got a super chat. Did you see that?
Oh,
I didn't know if it was a question. We're going to try to, if you send us a super chat, we're going to try to get to every single question or comment from a super chat tonight.
Yeah, and we'll start taking more questions after the first half. So like 30 Definitely. Minutes in, we'll be like chatting. And then after that, we'll take some questions. Leon says, my mom has severe osteoporosis and has multiple back fractures. Traditional medicine doesn't seem to be helping her. Do you have any advice?
Yeah, I actually have a YouTube video about osteoporosis and osteopenia. And if you can get your mom to implement all the steps that I talk about in that video, it will work better for her than any prescription drug for osteoporosis that's on the market in any country in the world. Definitely set your mom down in front of the TV or the laptop, however you watch YouTube, and say, Mom, there's a doctor talking about osteoporosis. Let's watch this together. That could literally save her from having a life-threatening bone fracture.
Yeah. My grandmother had severe, severe osteoporosis, and I wish I could go back in time and do the things that he talks about in his video.
It's really sad. And so many people, they go to the doctor, they're diagnosed with osteoporosis, and they're put on a medicine or two, and the doc's like, okay, we'll check it again in 6 months or a year. And that leaves these people with a false sense of, well, that's it. That's all I have to do is just take this pill once a week, I guess. He said walk. He said quit smoking. But there's 11 or 15 very important tips in that osteoporosis video that will help your mother greatly. So watch that with her. Don't tell her it's your idea. Just be like, oh, I found this doctor on YouTube. He's talking about osteoporosis. I thought you might want to watch. Don't say, Mom, sit down and watch this. This is important. She won't listen to you. She won't listen to me. Got to be a ninja. So what's phase two? After we've lost our fluid and now we're still eating our bacon and eggs and all the beef brisket and all the good fatty stuff, then what's next?
Fat loss.
Yeah. And so in that first week or two, you will lose a pound or two of fat, definitely, on keto. But after you've gotten rid of all the fluid, about that time is when you start to become fat adapted. keto adapted, and you're going to start to burn ketones and fatty acids for fuel. This, but the fat that you have stored on your body that you hate every time you look in the mirror, that's stored energy. Your body can actually burn that off for fuel. And that's what happens when you're eating a ketogenic diet. And so the next big, and it's probably the longest phase. For some people, it'll be a few months long. For some people, it might be several years long of fat loss. We have friends who lost 100 pounds in 6 months on keto. We have friends who've lost 100 pounds in 7 years on keto. It depends on many, many variables as to how fast you're going to burn your fat and lose your fat. But you absolutely are, because you are a fat burning machine when you're eating keto.
Right. And so, like you said, it varies, because we're all very individualized individuals.
Your hormones matter. Your age matters. Your gender matters. Mm-hmm. Your gut microbiome might matter. Your attitude, your current metabolic rate, all these things plus 100 more can make you lose weight faster or slower than you would like to.
Yeah. Stress, sleep, 100%. How long have you been overweight? How long have you been having metabolic issues, autoimmune issues, thyroid issues, hormone issues, all those things?
Yep.
The longer you've been sick, the longer it may take for you to get well. You don't expect your broken arm to heal overnight.
That's right.
You shouldn't expect your body that you have been not abusing on purpose, but you have been abusing.
Unwittingly abusing.
Right. Yeah. And now that you know better, you're doing the right thing. It's going to take time.
Right. And so that's for most people, the longest of the four phases is the fat loss phase. And so if you fall off the wagon during your fat loss phase and eat a bunch of carbs, then what are you going to spike?
Insulin.
Yeah. And that's going to cause you to hold fluid again. And so then when you wake up from your blackout from overdosing on carbohydrates, you're going to be like, oh, what do I do now? And then Nisha's going to say, get back on the horse, dummy. Right. And then you'll pee off that extra fluid again. And then you'll go that right back into the fat burning phase.
Yeah. And it's important to remember that fat loss is not linear. It doesn't just 100%. Do this. It's more like this, maybe a little this, maybe a little this, especially for women, because we go through hormonal changes.
Yeah. For men, it's kind of like that. It makes women mad. For women, it's like this, and there might be a little of that, and then some of this, a little of that, and then it takes a long time. And it's not fair, but that's how it is.
It's not fair. Even when I'm eating 100% strict, there are times of the month where I'm up 3 or 4 pounds, but that's a woman thing, and you shouldn't really stress about that.
That's a fluid shift, and as soon as her hormones go back post-menstrually after she's finished, then the hormones go back to normal, and then the fluid, she pees that off the next morning. And then she's right back to her previous period weight. And that's part of the hormonal blessing that it is to be a woman.
Right.
Right. That's what lets you guys do miraculous things that men could never do, because we would never live through that.
Yeah. But if
having
you see
a baby, that is, we would die.
Yes, for sure. If you see any success story, if you looked at the weight loss graph, it would look more like this. It would not be this woo thing.
And there might be a fall off the wagon, then they got back on the horse. There might be fluid shifts. But yeah, if you keep doing keto right, like I talk about in my Keto 101 playlist, then it's going to go down, but it's never going to go straight down. Life is not that simple, not that easy, not that uncomplicated.
Right. So that brings us to stalls.
Phase three. Yeah. At some point, I don't even think we should treat it as, oh my God, I stalled. Where'd that come from? I think that stalling is a natural phase of fat burning, fat loss, because especially if you're morbidly obese and you have a lot of weight to lose, when you've lost a lot of that weight, your body is, and we don't know exactly the biochemistry behind this, but basically your body freaks out that you're losing so much weight so fast, because just imagine living in the wild. No animal wants to lose a lot of weight. That's very worrisome. But because our body has no idea that we're morbidly obese, because that's not a natural state for human beings. Only in the modern society eating this modern Western diet are we going to get obese. Before, that never happened. So our body doesn't know quite what that is. But when you're losing weight really fast, your body will put the brakes on. And we call this a stall. That's what most people call it. Nurse Cindy likes to call it a pause. And I think that's very apt. I think that's an excellent way to look at it, because it's one of the phases of weight loss. You might pause your weight loss for a while so your body can look around and be like, is this okay? Are we dying? What's going on here? And then when it decides, oh, everything's okay, then the fat loss can continue.
Yeah, it's like a health break. So your body's just like, let's just wait a minute, make sure everything is okay. Yep. And your minute may be a few months, or like Nurse Cindy, it may be a year or more than a year. And as long as you're not gaining weight and you're still seeing health benefits, right, non-scale victories, then that's okay.
Yeah. And remember, on the old diets that you used to do, Weight Watchers, Jeannie Craig, Flexitarian, Ornish, all that crap, remember, you would have a weight loss stall, and by stall, I meant you gain back all 20 pounds that you
and
lost,
more.
Right? Remember that? That doesn't happen on keto. You might have a stall for a few weeks or a few months, but you didn't gain any weight. So congratulations, you didn't gain any weight. You just took a pause in your weight loss so that your body could just take a little safety check, make sure everything's okay, you're not dying, we haven't fell down a well and can't get to food, everything's fine, okay, then the fat loss continues. Now, let me ask you this, Nurse Nisha. How many times can you stall during your weight loss journey?
Many, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you really, we need to take into account also and put this out there that it can also be other factors that are causing you to stall. It may just be that you're stressed out.
Yep, 100%.
Aren't we all right now?
Yeah. Has anybody stalled or paused during this little event we've had going on in the world? Have any of you guys fallen off the wagon? Have you stalled? Have you paused? Have you just... You just said to hell with it and ate the Twinkies.
Yeah.
Anybody done that?
So you need to take that into account as well. A lot of us aren't sleeping as good because we lay in bed and just think about everything going on and worry. And, you know, I've just filmed a video about how to stay positive and de-stress. And that'll be up tomorrow on my channel, because I think a lot of us are in this really limbo state of mind, and that causes cortisol increase. 100%. Lack of sleep causes that. There are many factors that can be causing your stall, as well as the things that he already talked about.
The most important way that keto helps you burn fat and lose weight is by moving your hormones in the right direction. The hormones in charge of you being hungry, the hormones in charge of you being full, and the hormones that give you permission to burn your stored fat, because that's a evolutionarily protected thing. We're supposed to have 5, 10, 15, maybe even 20% body fat as adults. That's normal. It's a protective measure. So in case you fall down the well, break your leg, and you can't get out for a week, you don't die. You just burn that stored fat as fuel. But when you're eating keto, you're actually moving all those hormones in the right direction. So any hormone that's out of whack could slow down or stall your weight loss. So if you have an undiagnosed thyroid condition, if you have an undiagnosed adrenal condition, if your sex hormones are not optimized where they should be, any of these things can slow down your fat loss a lot or stop it altogether. Nisha made a great point. Sleep is huge. So back before the quarantine, even if you weren't a competitive athlete, you would still go to work, you talk to everybody, you were doing a lot of mental work, you had to drive and make decisions. But now, sitting around the house, you're not expending that exertion. And so a lot of times you just lay in bed and you don't sleep dead to the world, deep sleep like you should, because you've just sat around all day and all you've done is worry. So you raise your cortisol, you didn't really exhaust yourself. So you're not getting that deep restorative sleep. And so many of us, if you're having to work from home now where you didn't used to have to do that, that can raise your cortisol. But it also cannot exhaust you mentally and physically so that you sleep deeply at night. So you need to add some hacks or tricks or tweaks into your routine so that you can get into those deep levels of sleep. I got a YouTube video about how to get deeper sleep. That might help.
Another thing that could cause you to stall is sometimes we start off eating keto a certain way, and as we age or just as we continue to eat this way, some things may be holding us back. So
like what?
So dairy. Sometimes I know many people who got to a certain point where they were doing everything right, they were exercising and they were sleeping well and they were doing all the right things, and they still couldn't break the stall. And so they took either dairy out, nuts. Some people eat a lot of almond flour and nuts on keto, and that's fine if you're seeing the results that you want. But if you're not, then that could be holding you back.
100%.
Even keto sweeteners sometimes can hold some people back. So you just need to take that into account, that maybe this keto food is okay for Sherry, but now I need to maybe see if it's not okay for me. And that 100%. Can continue to change throughout the journey.
That's why we love it that you're watching videos like this and our other videos on YouTube and Facebook. You need to constantly be tweaking and thinking about your diet. And so I know I, for one, when I first started keto, I was the guy that would put a little bit of coffee into my heavy cream every morning. Remember that?
And
it was like coffee.
And butter.
Glug, glug, glug.
You put a lot of butter.
Yeah, I used to put a tablespoon or two tablespoons of butter when I would try my butter hack. And so I found that that worked great for months. But then after a while, I had a weight loss pause. And I was just stuck at about, what was it, 245, 250?
50, I think.
Yeah, I was 297 at my highest weight ever. And so when I got to 250, I had to re-examine my heavy cream usage and my unnecessary adding fat usage. And so not that fat's bad, but if you eat fat, you have to burn that fat before you're going to burn the stored fat on your booty.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't still eat fat.
True, exactly. But adding lots of extra, because there are some people that come to keto and they think that the secret of keto is fat. But the secret of keto is eating as low carb as you possibly can. That's the actual secret. That's why it works. Adding fat seems to help some people. Not adding fat seems to help some people. But for everyone, your diet has to be super low carb if you want to experience the wonderful benefits of keto.
Another thing, I just keep thinking of things.
Yeah, good.
Alcohol for some people 100%. Can cause a stall. Because
especially beer or wine.
Right. And even though there's I say low carb because alcohol is just, it's not keto, but it is, there are low carb versions of alcohol.
Yep.
So we'll say low carb.
Better
alcohol.
Less bad.
Right, right. So if you're somebody who has like the super low carb beers or dry farm wine or vodka soda, that kind of thing, and you do fine with that, then I think that's fine. I drink dry farm wine and sometimes I have a vodka soda. And I think a lot of us are drinking a little bit more because, you know, for the last few months.
Which can also interfere with your sleep.
Yes, it can.
Me especially. Does it bother you at all?
No.
She can drink two glasses of wine and go straight to bed. But if I have two drinks, I'm laying in there at 3 a.m. going, I guess I'll listen to my book on tape.
But you have to take that into account because your body utilizes alcohol first before it burns fat. And so if your intake in alcohol has went up in the past few months, then that could be holding you back as well.
I totally agree. Yep, absolutely.
All right. Next. Ready to move on?
Yep. And so we've went through our fat loss phase and we've had a pause or stall or two or three or four or 43. And that's okay. Because remember, in a stall, you don't gain weight. So that's okay. Congratulations. You just did not gain weight. Now, I get this question more often than I feel like that I should. People will say, what should I do when I reach my goal weight? Because I don't want to keep losing weight. What's up with that?
Well, I think that that's something that stems from all the diets that have come before keto is that at a certain point you stop eating that way.
Yeah,
or
because
whatever.
They're semi-starvation diets. And like if you kept doing Weight Watchers with their calorie restriction, if you kept doing that, you'd keep losing weight forever until you got so frail you couldn't get out of bed because you're literally starving yourself. But with keto, it's not a starvation diet. It's a hormone regulating diet. And so as you approach your ideal body weight, and you don't get to determine that, okay? Your body determines that for you. Some of us are a little fluffier than others. Some of us are, when we get to our ideal body weight, you can see the veins in our chest and our abdominal muscles, right? Others of us never get that slim, and that's okay. Because as you approach your ideal body weight, your health compared to what it was before is just astronomically better. You feel better, you look better, but you are healthier. Your risk of all of the bad things that can happen, heart attack, stroke, even falling down the stairs, even being in a car accident, your risk of all those things are higher when you're obese or morbidly obese. Did you know that? Even literally falling down and dying, your risk is higher if you're morbidly obese. every single cause of death, your risk goes up if you're morbidly obese, except your risk of starving to death, because that wouldn't happen if you're morbidly obese, right? But as you get approach your ideal body weight, all the risk from every one of those things goes back down close to normal, because we all have a risk. There's a risk that, you know, a drone could accidentally drop a bomb on our house. That can happen. That's a risk. But I mean, you can adjust for that. You just have to live your life. But the risks that you can do something about, like if you're playing in the street blindfolded, that's a risk you can actually modify, because you can just stop that idiotic behavior. Well, being obese puts you at increased risk. And so as you move towards your ideal body weight, you remove that risk and it returns to baseline. So phase four of keto diet weight loss is?
Maintenance.
Yeah.
And I just think we get really caught up in weight because that's how we've judged health for a long time, since people have.
Yeah. Well, because we're all obese. So being skinny is healthy.
Well, since marketing and PR and all of that stuff has come about, we've really began to focus on that. And since obesity has become such an epidemic, we focus on that. And yes, obesity is a problem, and you need to get to a normal height to weight ratio, BMI, whatever you want to use. But that should not be how you gauge your health right. And your success.
100%.
So, one of our friends has not lost as much weight as she wants to, but her health markers are really, really good. And she's lost a lot of weight, and she looks great, especially compared to what she used to look like. But the main thing here is that she feels amazing and her labs are good, and her maintenance and her body weight that she may get down to is not going to be the same as what my maintenance weight, because we have different moms and we have different genetics, and our moms ate different things while we were in gestation, and all these different things come into account.
All that stuff matters.
I have very thin genes. Like, my grandmother was literally a stick. My mom is literally a stick. Like, I wish I was curvier. I want to have the J-Lo body. I want to be a curvy girl, but I'm not. I'm just a stick, and that's how I've been my whole entire life. But that's okay for me. But that doesn't mean that our friend, who doesn't look like a stick, isn't at her ideal weight or close to it.
That's right. Yeah. And as you approach your ideal body weight, whatever that happens to be for you personally, your weight loss is going to slow down. And so you might have been losing a pound a week for a while. You get down closer to your ideal body weight, you might be losing a pound a month. And then you might be losing a pound every 6 months. And that's not that does not mean you're failing. That does not mean you're doing anything wrong. What tells you you're doing something wrong on keto is if you're gaining weight consistently. That tells you you have been tricked, deluded. You're just making dumb decisions. Something's not right. Keto, you either maintain or you slowly lose or quickly lose. That's your three options. And so, but as you approach that ideal body weight, you're not going to keep losing weight, because keto is not a starvation diet. You got to understand this. Keto is a weight optimization diet. It's going to move you towards your ideal body weight. We know people who have gained weight on keto, but they needed to gain weight. And so keto is going to try, because it puts all your hormones in the sweet position, it's going to try to move you towards your ideal body weight, whether that's gaining or losing.
Right. And I've been eating the way I've been eating for a year, because that's a whole beck it is. And I stopped losing weight when I hit basically what I weighed after high school. And that's it.
Right.
And I haven't changed anything. I haven't stopped eating as much or started eating more or started working out, which I really want to do, but I just suck at
it. We want to really bad.
But I haven't. And so, like, my body is like, oh, this is where you were.
Yep.
This is where we're going to put you. And maybe next year I'll gain 5 or 10 pounds, and maybe that'll be fine, as long as my Hashimoto's is still in remission. And, like, I'm not worried about that. I want to lift weights because I have hit osteoporosis in my family, and I really need to do that because.
And she wants to build her booty.
And I want my butt back. Yeah. My butt looked good while I was pregnant. I had, like, it was nice.
It still looks
I don't have one, like, whatever.
No,
so I need to squat it out, and I need to, you know, build upper body strength and stuff like that, because that is good for you. It is. Exercise is good. I'm just lazy.
Yeah. Well, I think it's more habit. We're just not in the habit. We just gotta get in the habit. We need to do it for 21 days. That's how long it takes to change a habit.
Do you think that's true?
I think there's a little research to back that up, and it kind of makes sense. You can't do it twice and think you broke the habit. You've got to do it consistently for a while. So 21 days, I think, would be a great goal to shoot for.
Oh, I suck.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't do it in the morning. I will do it after I've had my coffee. I will do it tonight, and then it's tomorrow.
And so as of now, currently today, I said after we do this video, we're going to work out. And she's like, why don't you want to work out in the morning? So I'm like, bitch, did you work out this morning?
You just called me a B word.
And you did not. So don't change the subject.
No, I didn't. But like I said, I want.
Are you going to work out in the morning?
Did you work out?
No. Actually, yeah, just like a little bit. I did some push-ups and some jump squats. In between.
How many times have you done that this week?
Probably three times.
You think
that it's better than nothing? Yes.
Well, I mean, I picked up my kid a million times today. So.
That counts. You get to check that off. Yes. But I don't think that helps your booty much.
No, it doesn't help booty much. But if I squat when I pick him up, yes.
That's true.
Okay, let's take some questions.
Who's got a question? Now's the time to type your question into the comments.
Stephanie has done 2 days in a row, 3 miles.
No, very nice. Well done.
I feel like cardio is not for me. I need to do something strength building. We
go for walks. Now, we did that yesterday, but as far as working
out.
Oh,
yeah, I walk, but I don't count that. That's not making
some people count that.
My bug
better. Don't denigrate.
Okay, let's see. Do you have your cornbread dressing recipe posted this week?
It's coming
this week, so make sure you're subscribed to my YouTube channel, which is in the description. It's Nisha Loves It. If you just type Nisha Loves It, somebody can drop it in the comments if they want, but it is linked in the description. Yeah.
And for those of you watching this live on Nisha's YouTube channel or Facebook page, in the South, we call dressing stuffing.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do. We call it dressing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get confused. I forgot who I was running against.
Okay. We're going to pretend that he didn't say that. And to be clear, it's keto cornbread
dressing. Yeah, it's so good. Listen, it's so good.
Yeah. Our family last year, I had it for Thanksgiving and Christmas last year, and we didn't tell anybody it was keto, and they didn't know.
No, nobody knew. And coming from a family, I grew up, my grandmother made stuff, and I hope Granny's not watching. Granny, I love you, but her dressing was so dry that you literally had to gulp the gravy on it to be able to eat the dressing.
Yeah.
And this dressing is not like that.
I've been perfecting it for 2 years. That's good.
Yeah.
Yep. It's Southern style. So Kelly wants to know, how do you know if you're insulin resistant?
It's an excellent question. So if you're insulin resistant, you can go to your doctor and say, hey, doc, will you please check a hemoglobin A1C for me? And he'll probably do that, he or she. Check a fasting insulin for me. And your doc will probably say, I don't know what that is. And you can explain it. And then say, will you please check a C-peptide for me? And they probably won't know what that is either. And you can explain it and get those checked. If your fasting insulin is elevated above the normal range, or if your C-peptide is elevated above the normal range, you have hyperinsulinemia, which goes hand in hand with insulin resistance. Now, there's no test for insulin resistance itself. We can only look at it very indirectly with other proxy markers. But you can have your doctor check your insulin level and your C-peptide, which is a proxy marker, a direct proxy marker for your insulin production. And if those numbers are high, you, my friend, are insulin resistant, and you also have hyperinsulinemia.
Right. So, Cheese wants to know.
Hey, Cheese.
Cheese has lost 80 pounds on keto. Woo-woo.
Booyah! Wow. What a gal.
Loose skin is an issue considering a tummy tuck as nothing else has worked. Is this sometimes the best option, or do you have any other suggestions? I'm tired of intermittent fasting and the gym.
Yeah. So, If you want your skin to tighten back up now, and you're either have no patience or you've run out of patience, tummy tuck, cosmetic surgery, plastic surgery is going to be the answer you're looking for. Now, you need to be very aware that there are risks of having this surgery. Even though it's cosmetic, there are still health risks, and you need to talk to the surgeon very honestly about that and what level of risk you're willing to take to look better in the mirror. I know it is just a mirror issue, but I know it's also a heart issue because you hate that part of you. If you've got some patience or you haven't run out of patience, then watch my video about loose skin on YouTube, my YouTube channel. You can actually use autophagy through intermittent fasting to tighten your skin up. We have several friends. The one that comes to mind is Sunny in San Antonio, who she lost over 100 pounds, right?
And she has no
existence. Intermittent fasting, I forget, 18, 20 hours every single day.
Nothing happened overnight.
She's made that part of her life. And as she lost the weight, her skin just tightened up with the weight loss. That does not happen as quickly as that for everybody. But I really think that it will happen for virtually everybody eventually. It might take way longer than you want it to take. But you always have the option of cosmetic surgery.
Yeah, and depending on how young you are, that's a better option. If obviously, if you're younger, because tummy tucks are pretty serious surgeries. Yeah. So just take that into account. So.
Yeah, but autophagy from fasting is very powerful, but it's not fast. It's not going to work in a week or two. You're going to have to make that part of your life for a while. How long did it take you to stretch your skin out that far? If you take that length of time, 20, 30, 40 years, then I would say probably it's going to take 25% of that time with intermittent fasting, at least 18 hours every day, to tighten that skin back up. It's going to take months and months and months, if not a year or two, to tighten it up because it took you a long time to stretch it out. As Nisha said, your hormones do matter. Your age matters. Your skin genetics probably matter. If you have stretched out your skin too far and you develop a lot of stretch marks, then it may not be possible for it to actually grow back to where it should be. But I do think you can move that way with intermittent fasting.
Hisham says, my loves, I've been carnivore for 3 months. My blood work was perfect, but my LDL was high. It was 193. As we know, they are just transporters. They're trying to put me on a statin. Help.
Yeah, just say no. Say, are my triglycerides normal? They'll say yes. Say, is my HDL cholesterol beautiful? They'll say yes. Say, is my A1C, does it look good? Yes. C-peptide looks good. Then I don't care about my LDL.
Okay. Does collagen help with skin tightening?
You absolutely need good sources of collagen building blocks in your diet. If you're not getting enough of the collagen building blocks, which are different amino acids, then yeah, your skin cannot regrow and rebound and retighten like it should. With that being said, what we're not recommending is collagen powders or collagen shakes or collagen bars. You don't need that. There are excellent natural sources of collagen building blocks that you can eat in your diet. I happen to have a YouTube video about just that thing on my YouTube channel. What are some things that you eat for the purpose of getting lots of collagen building blocks in your diet?
I blocked the dude.
Oh, did we have
I had a lot of people tell. I finally found him. He was like posting something about money. I don't know. So sorry about that. It's hard to like keep an eye on the comment. We even need somebody to moderate.
Yeah,
this.
We do.
But thanks for pointing that out. What did you say?
I thought you were ignoring me. Now sorry. I understand you had a good reason. So if you're trying to increase your collagen in your diet, you don't want to drink collagen shakes and powders and crap.
Right.
But how are you going to get collagen building blocks?
So collagen powders and those type of things they're just not the quality we're looking for, especially if you're somebody who is willing to do the things to get the quality collagen. I feel like collagen powders are like a cheat. But they're not. They're actually cheating you out. So the easiest way to get pure collagen is good bone broth.
Homemade bone broth.
That you make yourself, 100%. Which is super, super easy to make. And eating, and some of you are going to like this, the cartilage. And the fat and the sinew from your chicken wings and your ribeye steaks and stuff like that, because that's literally pure collagen and your body's just going to eat that up. That's this all here is made from what I eat.
That's made from
chicken cartilage
that she has gnawed off the bone. That is 100% true.
Yeah.
And I can eat a lot of stuff. I can eat just about anything. Like the gristle in my steak, I eat that every time. I don't even phase me anymore. But sometimes I'll be eating, she'll make a chicken bone broth like with chicken legs, and just destroy the bone. She cooks it so long. And I'll be eating, and I'll look over, and I swear she's just crunching on the bone, just chewing up the cartilage.
Yeah,
just
I cook it and cook it and cook it down. Like, literally, I can eat the chicken bone when I'm done cooking it.
And when you're eating cartilage, when you're eating gristle, ligament, tendon, sinew, fascia, all that stuff has every single building block for collagen that your body needs. A lot of the collagen powders are very misleading, because your body can't actually absorb the full collagen molecule through your stomach lining and into your bloodstream. It doesn't work that way. Your stomach's going to break that up into chains of amino acids. And that's why I say collagen building blocks, because that collagen powder is going to be broken down into the collagen building blocks. That full collagen molecule does not make it from your mouth to your knee joint. That does not work that way. And if they try to lead you into believing that, they're misleading you. You've got to get the constituent building blocks of collagen in your diet in sufficient amounts so that your body can say, oh, we've got everything we need. We can start to rebuild this knee cartilage that's been ground down, or this you got a partial tear in a tendon in your shoulder. We can start to rebuild that very slowly but very surely by getting the collagen building blocks. It's very powerful. But again, that's not going to happen overnight, because think about it. Tendons, ligaments, and cartilage, what color are they?
White.
They're white. That means they don't have a good blood supply. Now, if you tear a muscle, that's going to heal in days. Or if you cut your skin, it bleeds, right, very readily. That's going to heal in days. But things in your body that are white, they take a lot longer to heal because they don't have as good a blood supply. But heal they can, and heal they will, if you're keeping your inflammation low with a keto diet and you're giving your body all the collagen building blocks it needs to make the collagen, the fibrin, and the connectin to put all that stuff back together again.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right. Somebody asked if Jell-O is collagen.
Jell-O is a gelatin. Yes, it is collagen. What they basically, how they make it, it's kind of gross. A lot of people don't know that. You may not want to know this, but they take basically cow hooves and bones, and they just boil it. They make a huge vat of 5,000 gallons of bone broth. And then they skim the gelatin off of that. Then they dry it. Then they grind it up into powder. Then they put it in a box that says Jell-O and put some flavor and some sugar in it. And then you're eating ground up, cooked up bone, cow hooves and cow tail bones. And yeah, that's what it's made from.
Val wants to know, she is using electrolyte supplements like Keto Chow, but she's still experiencing muscle cramps. Is there a specific amount of electrolytes that she is supposed to be taking?
Yeah, there's a fine line between for how much magnesium you could take. And it's usually magnesium that causes a low magnesium that causes you to have leg cramps and muscle cramps. It could be potassium. It could be several other things. And I talk about that on my YouTube video about the 7 causes of cramps and 7 cures. But it's usually magnesium. There's a sweet spot in your magnesium intake. If you don't take enough, you're going to have muscle cramps. If you take too much, you're going to have diarrhea. So if you're getting diarrhea from your magnesium, back it up a little. If you're still having leg cramps, then you can increase your magnesium a little bit until you find the sweet spot where you don't have the squirts, but you also don't have the cramps.
Okay, Robin says her doctors prescribed Lasix to a former type 2 diabetic, knowing it raises blood glucose 30%, and her fasting insulin shot up to 43 in 4 months.
Yep. Yeah. Now, let me, in all honesty, and with respect to other healthcare providers out there, many doctors don't study this stuff every day like I do, and like Nisha does, and like so many doctors in the low-carb space trying to help you. I did not know for the first 5 years of my medical practice that statins raise your blood sugar. I had no idea. Did not know that. I had no idea that hydrochlorothiazide, HCTZ, diuretic, raises your blood sugar. Did not know that. I had no idea that taking a statin lowered your testosterone. I had no idea that taking a statin lowered your coenzyme Q10. I had no idea that Lasix could mess with your blood sugar. They didn't teach us this stuff. What they taught us, was the side effects that they thought we would care about. Like, you know, Lasix might cause muscle cramps, could cause dehydration, could cause heart palpitations. Those are the things they teach a doctor. They don't teach a doctor that, hey, this could lower the following things, which are very important to health optimization, because I think they train most doctors and nurses to just try to keep people from dying. That's the goal. I just don't want you to die. I don't care if you're optimized and feel great or if you feel miserable, as long as you don't die on my watch.
Well, it's also to keep them legal.
Right, exactly. And so we don't want you to die because that brings on lots of paperwork and attorneys if you die, and I was your doctor. So we don't want that. And so we don't care. What many doctors don't care if they lower your testosterone and lower your coenzyme Q10 and raise your blood sugar a little bit, as long as you don't die immediately, they consider that a victory. And I don't consider that a victory. And I hope that more and more doctors are starting to consider all these things.
Well, I mean, the doctors aren't just out there not doing things on purpose.
That's right.
I mean, when you were practicing in the way you were practicing, you weren't doing it to be a jerk.
I wasn't. I just didn't know better.
I know, but how you said it made it sound pretty jerky.
Oh, I'm sorry. My point was I didn't know better then.
Right, but but the doctors aren't doing this on purpose.
True.
But they aren't learning on purpose either. So we have to hold them accountable for that. They do need to continue to educate themselves. They didn't graduate and know everything. Oh. And there's a lot of doctors that get sedentary. And
lazy.
They don't continue to educate themselves. And so you have to keep your doctor accountable and be like, have you done recent research on the statin thing? Because you need.
Did you know, doctor, is a great question.
Yes.
Did you know I read that Lasix raises blood sugar? Is that true? And if your doctor says, no, that's not true, then obviously they're not paying attention at all. You can actually pull out the insert that came with the prescription. So, well, it says right here that it does. And then he'll say, well, it's not much. It's not a big deal. And say, well, it says right here that it can be. That kind of conversation with your doctor will do one of two things, both of which are good. It'll either change your doctor's mind or it'll give you the opportunity to change your doctor. That's right. Hello,
Hi.
Becky Perry.
Here's this baby turned 1 year old this past week. So we have a 1 year old. Yeah, the dog is in here. Yeah. There's your dog.
See,
are you just caring about the dog?
Yep, he just cares about the dog. Where's his hat? I want to put his hat on. Yeah.
There's your baby.
He, one of our good friends knitted him a hat, right? Yeah.
Yeah. My best friend. We've been friends literally since we were like two. Hey, you want to show everybody? Where's Mickey?
Where's your hat, baby?
Where's Mickey? You can't ask him something right after I ask him.
Oh, sorry.
Now he's confused.
Where's Mickey?
Yeah, that's Mickey.
That's right. Point, Mickey. Oh, look at your hat.
Oh, well, yes.
Beth, look what you did. He actually keeps it on. He kind of likes it. Pull up for a minute. And that's it.
Hey, where's Mama's nose at?
Where's my nose?
Where's Daddy's nose?
That's my nose.
Where are you?
Oh, there's a kiss. He just knows he's expected to do something.
Hey, where's my nose?
Where's Mama's nose?
Are you really? You're not going to do it?
He knows.
That's okay.
He knows. I'm going to get your nose.
Yeah. He's got two more teeth coming in, so he'll have 9 teeth?
9 or 10.
No.
10 teeth. Yeah,
you're going to have 10 teeth. So we've had a little bit of a week and a half here.
Been a little irritable.
Okay.
Good throw. He's still ambidextrous. I can't tell if he's going to be left-handed.
I'm ambidextrous.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all left-handed. She's half and half, so we don't know. Maybe he'll be ambidextrous.
What are you doing? Okay. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Your tummy is so warm.
Are we out of time for tonight?
Oh, buddy. Okay. So, make sure if you want to see what we eat in a day, you go subscribe to my YouTube channel. Ooh. Nisha loves it, and I do keto grocery hauls and stuff. He's fixing to strip me.
Look at this face. I'm going to show you this video. Go ahead and make it again.
And so recipes and all that coming up in the next few weeks for Christmas and Thanksgiving, so make sure you're all subscribed if you're interested in that. And then, Dr. Berry, what's your video coming up this week?
I just put out a video today. I've got two more coming this week. And that's one of the great things about subscribing to the YouTube channel is you get a notification every time there's a new video posted.
Oh, my goodness.
Becky Berry, you want to be throwing some more? You ready? You ready? Yep. Hey.
All right. So anyways, thanks for the super chats and the stars, and big thank you to our Facebook supporters and our Patreons over on patreon.com.
Yes. Thank you guys. You're part of our keto family.
Who we'll see tomorrow over in the Facebook group for our live that we do over there every Tuesday at 7 as well. And we will see you here next week, 7 Central Standard Time, same place, same channel, same time. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
And the internet's good.
And the internet.
That's right. And if you didn't get enough of us tonight, they can join us. Oh, you already said that. I was playing with the baby.
I just said that. Thanks for all the questions and leaving your stories in the comments. It's awesome, and we appreciate every comment, every like, every share. You guys are the best, and we'll see you next week.
Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Say bye-bye.
He's just not going to
do it. I say bye-bye. He takes this after his mother. There he goes.
See you next week.
Good job.